The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon, brand new week. And no, it's not Adriano Del Monte. It's George Tanekian standing in for Adriano, who's taking a bit of a break. Also in the studio with me is Carlos Alberto.
How are you there, Georgie?
I'm very good. I'm still trying to make sense of what happened over the weekend in Europe. And with that in mind, I normally go to those people who actually know their stuff. Matt Bruick is on the line. He's not on the line just yet.
Not yet. He's still getting over what's happened in Europe over the weekend too, Georgie. But before we go to, if I could just say, we're welcoming your calls out there.
Sure.
On our talkback line, of course. So the Euro experts out there, join in the conversation anytime. And you can win a prize today for the best caller. Today on the show.
Is this part of the Christmas cheer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All holiday. Right, okay.
You know, happy holidays, Christmas cheer, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter what part of your world from around the world you are from.
Okay.
It is just celebration time. Today on our show, we're giving away to our best caller or SMSer a traditional premium pack Panettone.
Hello.
From our great friends there at Ital. Just give us a call on our talkback line, 9944 9999, 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, plus 613 if you're overseas. SMS us also on 0428 933 345, 0428 933 345, and you can win big here. Those Panettone, I know the staff have been tucking into them.
I'm thinking of some friends of mine who are at the moment in Rome. And they're probably listening to FNR thinking,
yes,
hey, a Panettone from Australia?
Yeah, I don't think – they probably have one within arm's reach wherever they are in Italy.
Okay.
But this is fantastic stuff. So join us in the conversation. Have your view. I know there's big leagues around the world in Europe that you want to talk about. All the magnificent results on the weekend. Join the conversation.
Let's start with the scores that actually brought delight to some fans. And I've got to say, a bit of shock to a host of others who still can't believe that their sides suffered a defeat. In France, the juggernaut that is PSG, would you believe it, took a bit of a hit, not only from Strasbourg, but also those fans from Alsatia. In Serie A, a team that's struggled to remain relevant for a huge part of the opening part of the season, actually created a huge upset when it achieved a 2-2 draw against AC Milan. Aided by their, you'll love this, by their goalkeeper, who headed home the equaliser in the 96th minute to grab the first points of the campaign for Benevento. And their goalkeeper, when questioned afterward, or would have been interrogated afterwards, said, "I close my eyes and hope for the best." That's the best response I've ever heard from any player.
That's not going to get his transfer value up. By saying that, he should have said, "Look, I've done it often in my life. I've made my way up there. The team needed me badly. We were 2-1 down, and at the death, I knew I was going to score because I'm skilled, and my transfer value should go a lot higher because of that reason."
You must be referring to Mauro Icardi, whose level and quality at the moment is rising like some of those stocks that you always want to be on. Last year, all the fans at Inter didn't want to know him. They couldn't cope with his ego. But by golly, right now, they've moved a point clear, Inter, at the top of Serie A. They've thrashed Kiev 5-0, and Icardi is looking like a world beater. And, of course, what do fans do? In fact, what is the club saying? They want to double his buyout clause. They want to increase everything else.
Yeah.
But let's go to some of those scores. And incredibly, they are there to behold, and you sort of wonder and roll your eyes. I'm very keen to hear what Matt Bruick and others are going to say. Let's go to Serie A. Roma did what it should do. It beat Spal 3-1. Torino and Atalanta played out a 1-1 draw. Inter, as I mentioned just a moment ago, breezed past Kiev 5-0. Bologna and Cagliari played out a 1-1 draw. Juventus upset Napoli. I thought Napoli would get up here, but Juventus emerged victorious by 1-0. And as I touched on, AC Milan and Benevento played out a 2-2 draw after 96 minutes of play. Sassuolo suffered, unfortunately. Fiorentina 2-good, 3-0. And Sampdoria lost to Lazio 2-1. Two games still to come. That's Crotone and Udinese, and they play tomorrow afternoon, or rather tomorrow morning. And Verona then take on Genoa. In the La Liga, some really interesting scores there. Malaga and Levante, 0-0. Atletico Madrid 2 beat Real Sociedad 1. Atletico Bilbao and Real, another draw for the Los Galacticos. What in heaven's name is going on, Carlos Alberto?
I mean, the result and the fact that Ronaldo's not contributing as much as he has in the past, maybe...
No Gareth Bale. He's still out injured.
Yeah, he's been out injured.
But he's been marvellous every time he steps in.
No, he does. And that's why they paid so much money for him, George. And that's why, you know, he says he wants to stay. I think the club wants him to stay, but he's just not giving him continuity on the park. And that's the problem with Gareth Bale. He's just not on the park all the time.
And if that continues, of course, you start to question the investment.
There's already talk about, obviously, him being shipped off to Manchester United or wherever he wants to go, because he'll make a decision. He's sort of saying, no, I want to stay. but Real Madrid's saying, listen, there's a use-by date for everyone who's come through this club, even for Cristiano Ronaldo one day. And Cristiano, I don't know, he just seems like his mind's elsewhere at the moment. There's other better things for him to do. But maybe not having such a big season in La Liga may lead to him being a star in the 2018 World Cup, where he might deliver something where in the
special past,
in big events, he doesn't doesn't tend to contribute as well as he does for club football. So,
now, one side that was high-flying up until the weekend was Valencia, and they ran into a roadblock called Getafe. They lost 1-0. Los Palmas has beaten Real Betis 1-0. Barcelona and Celta Vigo played out a 2-2 draw. Sevilla beat Deportivo 2-0. Leganes 3, Villarreal 1. Eibar 3 beat Espanyol 1. And tomorrow the game against either Girona or Girona, whichever way you want to pronounce it, and Alaves, that game is coming up in the morning. Now, the other matches that we talk about, we're talking about the Bundesliga, and some interesting scores, and again, some very tight results. Freiburg and Hamburger basically 0-0. Werder Bremen and Stuttgart. Werder turned out to be the side that would edge ahead by the one goal. Augsburg beat Mainz 3-1. Bayern Munich did a pretty reasonable job over Hanover 96, 3-1. Bayer and Dortmund, again, Dortmund just struggling through this season. And where it was almost relentless in its ability to score goal after goal last year, it's struggling. It finished with a 1-1 draw. Hoffenheim, though, had no problems against the Red Bulls of Leipzig. 4-0 there. Yes, 4-0.
That's a big win. And
that
Hoffenheim,
yeah.
I've noticed, not that I'm an expert around Bundesliga, but I've often noticed that Hoffenheim does pull out the odd result that actually is a bit of a shock. I mean, they've had a lot of success against teams like Bayern Munich, for example. They every now and again, they just hit some purple form during a game, and they're unbeatable. And they're a team that hovers around the Europa-type positions, doesn't really eat into the Champions League positions. But, you know, with a win like that, 4-0 at home, albeit against Leipzig, you'd think there's a lot to this team, and they could maybe this season, given that they're only 14 games in, that they could actually earn themselves a European Cup pot spot or a Champions League spot for next year.
Well, we await to see how that season unfolds. Elsewhere, Schalke and Köln played a 2-2 draw. Hertha Berlin and Eintracht had an interesting result. Eintracht just getting ahead 2-1. And if you've got shares in VW, you'd be very, very happy. Wolfsburg 3, Mönchengladbach 0. And that means that's probably why Matt Bruick is not wanting to talk to me at the moment.
Well, cause... I mean, Wolfsburg is like below the mid part of the table, and they've beaten Mönchengladbach. They've talked about, obviously, they've shown instances this season.
That's why I said Matt Bruick is probably speechless at the moment.
So how did they get beaten 3-0? At Wolfsburg.
Well, let's
take the expert to tell me.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, the expert might be able to do it. This is the Euro Show. George Stanekin with Carlos Alberto standing in for Adriano Del Monte, who's taking a well-earned break. Back with more in just a moment. Yes, this is the Euro Show. Adriano is not here with us, but it is George Stanekin along with Carlos Alberto. And, you know, we've been hearing for weeks now that Gonzalo Higuain is just finished, you know, he's overrated, he's carrying some kilos. And guess what happens? His coach now, or actually his former coach, is saying he's hailing him as a phenomenon. This is after he scored the only goal for Juventus, of course, in the game against his old club, Napoli. So isn't it remarkable how fortunes change, how careers and reputations are made in a twinkling? All you've got to do is score the right goal at the right time.
He's just a chubby good forward now, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's an Argentinian that's struggling to make the main squad for Argentina. Yeah. And there's the World Cup in Russia coming up next year. And everyone's saying, he's not going to see any more internationals. Well, if he has this ability, is it basically he's found his level and maybe the next level is just a half step too much?
The thing is, I mean, the Juventus paid something like 90 million euro for
ridiculous
him
amounts of money,
from Napoli in the first place.
Which they don't normally do.
Well, that's right. They usually sell and keep the money. The Italians, the Juve management.
They're renowned.
So for them to fork out that sort of money, and I know he's been good in various games for them and has scored important goals in the year and a bit that he's been there, a season a bit. But I'd love to get the Juventus supporters' reaction about whether he has been value for money. Because at the time he did go to Juventus, he's one of the highest transfers in
all time
in football history. Yeah. So I think it'd be really interesting to get some feedback from Juve supporters out there. And if you want to get involved in the conversation and win a fantastic panettone, we know that Juve supporters would love their panettones.
This is an all-fruit panettone, mate.
Best caller.
Ital knows how to make the
absolutely. Best caller or SMSer gets a traditional premium-packed panettone from our great friends there at Ital. Just give us a ring on 9944999. That's 9944999. 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, plus 613 if you're overseas. 0428933345 is the SMS number if you want to shoot us through your thoughts on and comments on the SMS.
Now, there's one other little bit of fruit I want to sprinkle in your panettone, and that is this result that happened over the weekend between AC Milan and this side called Benevento that cannot do a thing, and at least until this weekend. And not only do they score once against one of the best teams in the competition, but they've scored twice. And in fact, their second goal, they had to wait till the 96th minute of the contest. So
before you say it, Georgie,
you've got something for me?
Before you say it, and we've heard this before, but it's so good. We'll play it again. It is Benevento and AC Milan in that magnificent game on the weekend.
Messier trying to find a way through. Good strength. Hooks one into the air. Is he going to go in off the line? And again. And this time Milan find a way through. It's Giacomo Bonaventura. It took 37 and a half minutes. Bonaventura strikes for the first time since August to give Milan a priceless lead. Nodded clear and driven back. Oh, what an effort that was. And the rebound's in. Benevento have done it. Just 4 minutes gone in the second half. And they have found themselves an equaliser. Bonucci, who is in the box. Bonaventura will try again. And Milan lead for a second time. And they do score from the corner, which should never have been given in their favour. 60 seconds left on the clock. This free kick has to be good. It is good. Oh, it's incredible. Absolutely remarkable. The goalkeeper has scored. Brignoli! Sensational!
Now, this draw still leaves Benevento languishing at the foot of Serie A with just the 1 point that they gained yesterday. But Brignoli, this is the young goalkeeper, Alberto Brignoli, he felt that it was at least what they deserved against the Rossoneri, whose new coach, Mr. Gattuso, was unable to turn their fortunes around on his debut. Now, he says, I'm delighted for the fans, the players and the president, which is what a good goalkeeper always does. Never forgets the president. And this is a 26-year-old young man, so he's got his bearings all sorted out. He said, it would have been awful to lose this. We've already lost so many in the last second or so, but we didn't deserve to lose like at Sassuolo. So he said, I went up. I was thinking, okay, it's 2-1, 95th minute of play. We have nothing to lose. I've gone up for the corner. Yeah. I've closed my eyes and I leapt. it was more of a goalkeeper's dive than a striker's hit.
Yeah.
But what can I say? Yeah, I just hope for the best. And the crowd and I suppose all those fans who are part of the Benevento family must be absolutely still in euphoria land.
That could be possibly the only point they get for the whole year.
But don't say
Georgie.
That. Don't
and
say
it's
that.
Because of their goalkeeper going up forward. Now, of course, Gennaro Gattuso is the new manager there at AC Milan.
Yeah. He was a hard head as a player, wasn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely. Now, look, you don't have the real audio of what he said yesterday because we haven't. It was behind closed doors in the change room. But this is probably something that he may have said and his reaction to dropping points in his first game.
Real Madrid is not Barcelona, it's an office small team, have many problems. I want my players play with balls, with darts. This, I speak with my players. No, leave. Leave what? Leave what? It's too easy for me, leave. Every day, in the last 2 weeks, call me 5-6 president for change teams. No, me stay here. C'è la mia famiglia, it's my family live here.
Οικογένειά μου ζει στο Ηράκλειο.
I don't come here for holiday.
Δεν έχω έρθει εδώ για διακοπές.
And this go crazy for newspaper speak about what? About what? Yes, the club have problem, I know. My 1 year here is 10 years in another club. And this is good for me. I don't go in my home and cry because I don't have money, maybe sometimes I have problem. No, no, it's continued. Sometimes, remember, it's loss, winner. But maybe today is no winner. I come here and speak the same thing. And this guy no have respect to me, no have respect for Creta, no have respect for everybody. This guy for sign, for speak for nothing. Because I know, I speak every day with you, with Manolis, with 7 people who work in the club, every day. Thank you for you, thank you for everybody, help me. I don't like the excuse, maybe the players no play with us because no pay salary. This not true. Another thing, I put 2 players out because no respect the rules. Okay, from Heraklion, from Creta, it's not my problem.
Μπορεί να μην είναι σωστό ή καλό για αυτούς, αλλά δεν είναι δικό μου πρόβλημα.
Maybe one Adeleo, I speak Adeleo, maybe another guy from Italy is no respect the rules to go out to is the same. Because I work 12 hours a day, me, my staff, you, the people who work in this club, I no permit for nothing, for a big name, no permit nothing. Because in my life, one people may give me present. I don't give present for the players.
Of course, that was Gennaro Gattuso, the new...
Back in the days when he was coaching Offi in Crete.
Yeah, so we get a sense of course, he's the new manager of AC Milan, and they dropped points against Benevento, a team that had not won or gained even a point all season. And the goalkeeper of all people getting up to to a set piece there at the corner and got his head to the ball and scored a dramatic equaliser at the death there. And the quote there, Georgie, I'm not sure whether you've got the quote from Gennaro.
Yep.
He said he would rather be stabbed than concede a last gasp equaliser as AC Milan did at Benevento.
I think I understand the passion. I'm not quite sure that he used the right words. But if you're wondering what in heaven's name is going on, this is the Euro show, minus Adriano Del Monte, but here with George Danekian and Carlos Alberto. And Carlos Alberto is giving you the opportunity to grab yourself some marvellous festive surprise with a panettone and a half from Ital, the people at Ital.
Yes, give us a ring, joining the conversation, 9944 999 999, 0428 933 345 is the SMS number. Best caller, best SMSer will get the panettone. Now, Georgie, of course, another big result. You talked about Inter Milan earlier in the show about how they're taking all before them, top of the table at the moment. And I still remember the great Inter Milan sides of the 90s and the late 80s too, some of the great players that have played and such an Argentinian influence in that team. They had a terrific win against Chievo over the weekend. Here's some highlights.
It's De Paoli, Sandon goes for goal. Sorrentino clears and a second save. It makes its way through. How did that get in from Perisic? It's Inter in front. And Inglese, unable to return the favor, slipped through from Mauro Icardi. Only Dainelli to beat Icardi against Sorrentino!
Oh,
Icardi's done it again! Goal number 16 on the season, and Inter double the lead.
Oh my, again.
Given away to Perisic, who has Icardi in the middle. It's Perisic into the area. Perisic!
Again!
Puts it in the bottom corner. It's a second for Ivan Perisic and a third for Inter. And quickly forward for Candreva. In the stride, it's Candreva. Icardi into the area. Back post is Skriniar! It's a fourth for the Nerazzurri. They're cruising in San Siro. João Mário going for goal. Perisic finds it at his feet. Perisic! It's a hat-trick for Ivan Perisic. Five for Inter. The Nerazzurri five. Chievo nil.
Yeah, Perisic having a day out there, Georgie. A Croatian international. There was a lot of talk about Perisic going to Manchester United in the off-season too. I'm not sure why they didn't go harder, because he was certainly one
He's
on
a
their...
superstar.
Yeah, one on their list. And I remember seeing him for the first time. Seriously, I saw him in the Euros, and I thought he was a great player for Croatia, and he scored a hat-trick on the weekend. No wonder the
great
Inter Milan hierarchy wanted to keep him, because they played a bit of hardball to keep him, by the way.
And so, a hat-trick like that sort of stands up and shows that you're on the right track.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to take an opportunity now to hear from someone else who has been part of this Euro show for quite some time. Ozan, is he with us yet?
Awesome, I certainly am. Hello, George.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Carlos. How are you both?
And good to have you on board, my boy, as they say in the storybooks. Hosh geldin is.
Hosh buldu. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Mate, it's a remarkable weekend of results. And what did you make of it?
Oh, look, it certainly was remarkable, George. I think it was an opportunity gone begging for a couple of teams, as leaders Barcelona drew it home to Celta Vigo 2-2, despite Messi and Suarez getting on the score sheet there. Former Liverpool player Iago Aspas causing all sorts of troubles with a goal and an assist to get a valuable point there at the Nou Camp. But having said that, Real Madrid and Valencia obviously had a fantastic opportunity to close the gap there between themselves. But they didn't take advantage.
No.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah, so Real Madrid drawing nil all with Atletico Bilbao away from home. The only, I suppose, talking point there was Sergio Ramos breaking the red card record there.
No, not Sergio. Not our Sergio.
No. Wouldn't have predicted that, would you? So dropping two valuable points there. And Valencia going down to 10 men, Getafe, who have now sneaked up to 8 on 19 points.
That's a really good result, isn't it, for Getafe?
Absolutely. And I think they're starting to climb back to their old sort of Europa League and promising sort of days from a couple of seasons ago, or more so than a couple of seasons ago, I suppose, but when Laudrup used to be in charge there. But, look, Bergara getting the only goal of the game there, just past the hour mark. And in the 25th minute, a red card for Arambari. So you would wonder how for 75 minutes, for 65 minutes, how Valencia couldn't pull a goal back or go in the lead there with a man advantage.
Now, listen, it's Carlos, mate. It's the first chance of I get to speak European football with you, so thanks for joining us. Now, the top four there in La Liga, in the past, it's really been a two-horse race, or you know, Atletico Madrid's on the coattails of Real Madrid and Barcelona, and both teams in Barcelona and Real Madrid are playing champagne football every week. Their top players are at their best, and it's just something to behold. But this season, it just seems to be, even Atletico Madrid in the Champions League have struggled. It's only more recently where they're starting to get wins on the board, but they were not conceding goals, but getting draws when they should have had wins. Barcelona, it's hard to gauge how good they are because Real Madrid just seem to be mediocre at the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Carlos. And it is a pleasure to team up for the first time with you also. Look, Barcelona, are we surprised that their first points dropped at home this weekend? Not really. They are 5 points clear of Valencia. But speaking of which, I think Valencia has now thrown the spanner in the works, so to speak, because if we remember maybe in the early 2000s when they used to feature in Champions League finals and winning titles here and there, I think now they've started to come back to those sort of days, the case of deja vu for them, which I think is the main sort of the difference in comparison to other seasons where we just see Barca and Real Madrid with Atletico chiming away and trying to win some silverware. Having said that, Atletico only a point behind Valencia in third, Real in fourth on 28. So, it's a little different. But having said that, you still got Sevilla and Villarreal pushing for Europa League spots too. So, it's good to see that there is, say, Valencia in there pushing for a top spot. But there is also the difference of the likes of Ronaldo, Suarez, Benzema, such big names, not necessarily firing in all cylinders in front of goal as well. So,
in fact, it's more appropriate to be saying they're misfiring.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's such a fine line, Ozan, with these world-class players. And, you know, there has been a lot of talk about Ronaldo not being happy in Spain because he's tax issues. And, you know, that Man United might be making a play for him to go back home where he's looked after by his surrogate father.
I was going to say, you're not suggesting there's a Portuguese connection somewhere there.
No, what I'm suggesting, George, is it might be time for all involved to go their own separate ways. And generally, performance is the indicator in the end. And Ronaldo was just accumulating number after games and goals and goals and goals. And he was doing it for Real Madrid and he was on top of the world, winning Ballon d'Ors, all that sort of stuff.
He was doing it for FIFA 18 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just wondering whether he's just had his other... I think he's had three kids in about 9 months. Somehow he's got all these kids from somewhere. So maybe priorities are changing a little bit for him. And maybe his next move is to the very, very rich EPL. Not necessarily Manchester United, but maybe a Man City or something like that.
Can you imagine
the very, very rich Paris Saint-Germain.
Absolutely.
Ozan, could you imagine him at Man City?
I don't know the answer to that because it would cause a lot of controversy. Because
and in
of
the dressing room.
And some
consternation in the dressing room.
Look, Guardiola is the sort of coach who doesn't like a lot of ego, and we saw that with him and Ibrahimovic back at Barcelona.
Oh, yes, of course. I'd almost forgotten about that episode in his history.
So there'll definitely be some clash of personalities if such a transfer was to go ahead. It also, going back to your question, Diego, Carlos, it also refers to the characteristic of the player, of course, what they really want to do in their later years. In their sort of peak and post-peak sort of period of their career, do they want to become and we were talking about this with Adriana as well, do they want to become a one-club or two-club legend, or do they want to sort of travel around each league like the way Ibrahimovic is doing at the moment? So that's another area to sort of look at before you predict where the likes of Ronaldo would be travelling come summertime or January transfer window.
Valencia... they were a team that sacked, three managers or four managers in the last 2 years. And I know Gary Neville was one of them.
Yeah,
and they were
always
really struggling.
Always look on the bright side, mate. Always look on the bright side. The next coach, the next manager.
When Gary Neville gets appointed to a La Liga team when he's had no senior experience anywhere else, you wonder about the management of that team. I know Matty Ryan spent a bit of time there, but they seemed a basket case only 12 months ago. What have they done to suddenly hit the heights of second in La Liga?
Well, I think it was the transfers and the whole sort of management change as a whole as well. I think they've realised that they need to be at a higher place than they were previously at.
Yeah,
absolutely. And let's not forget that they did have a lot of financial trouble. They were in debt of hundreds of millions of euros, which they, according to my sources, have now reduced to about the 20 million euro mark. So that's, in today's football market, not a bad figure to be on if you are in the minus. So I think that it's just taken a while for Valencia to sort of learn the ropes again and get back to their feet. But now, I mean, they've got Garay in defence, they've got Murillo, they've got Guedes, they've got Santi Mina, Simone Zaza, scoring goals, assisting. They're just playing very attractive attacking football, whether it's playing out wide or through the middle. So they've got a lot of options going forward, which in Spanish league will always work in your favour, because worst case scenario, you're going to be conceding one or two goals, but you're going to be also scoring twice the amount or more. So,
and of course, Atletico Madrid, there was so much instability in the off-season. Diego Simeone suggested that he was going to be moving on. It was time for him to go. And there was talk of a big play by Inter Milan to drag him away. Of course, he's a favourite son of Inter Milan, played many, many games there and was a legend of that club. Antoine Griezmann, there was talk about him going to Man U, but then he stayed and supporters weren't happy because he actually declared he wanted to go and now he stayed. And it just seems the club was racked with instability, but in the last couple of weeks, they seem to be getting back on the winning track.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was tough for them, especially with a couple of the upsets against Caraba in the Champions League. But an 87th minute winner from Griezmann seemed to get them back on their feet as well. Third spot currently, as we mentioned, on 30 points. So they're starting to find their rhythm again. I think Europe's shaken them up a lot this year round. I think it's taken a big toll on them from a domestic point of view, and also the fact that there is still a transfer ban that's due to finish in January may have played a role as well, which we did discuss with Adriano prior. So it'll be interesting to see what they go shopping for, and if the likes of Griezmann and Saul Niguez does leave Simeone's side, or if it is still Simeone's side by that time, then it'll definitely be interesting to see how they play musical chairs down there.
Ozan, do stay with us because I still want to talk Ligue 1, and there's some interesting stuff that's happened there. And, of course, a big shock with PSG, that juggernaut, falling over on the weekend. You're watching and listening, in fact, to the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio. George Denikian and Carlos Alberto standing in for Adriano Del Monte. And on the line we have Ozan Güncer, and he's going to stay with us, and we're going to talk Liga in just a moment. Yes, the Euro Show with George Tanikian and Carlos Alberto. And, of course, on the line, Ozan Güncer. Ozan, I've got to ask you, Paris Saint-Germain's unbeaten run across all competitions this season is over. Finito la musica, passata la festa, they say. It finished at Strasbourg, mate.
Can you do it in Peruvian too there, Georgie?
You want me to do it in Greek?
Yeah, can you do it in Bolivian?
No, that's a yinny. Now, come on. Ozan, hello?
Yeah.
What did you make of it, my boy? Did you see it coming?
I didn't see it coming, but I think I speak for a lot of people who do follow the league that it was due to come at some point.
You were happy that it came, aren't you? Because they've got so much money and they're winning everything and they bought all the best players, and you just don't mind clubs like that having the odd failure.
No. There's someone that does mind, and it's probably the coach of Argentina, because Angel Di Maria looked as bad as I've ever seen him for nearly three quarters of that game. What did you make of him, Ozan?
Yeah, no, he wasn't happy at all. And I think Nuno Da Costa gave him all sorts of worries throughout the game, setting up a goal and assisting. And PSG going down there 2-1. Mbappe on the score sheet once more. But, I mean, as I said, they were definitely due for a loss, because in these sort of runs, I think teams, even world-class teams such as PSG, need to drop points here and there, at least just to sort of psychologically reset as well. Because once you go on that juggernaut of continuously winning, at times you sometimes do lose at the wrong time of the season on the business end. But in this case, they are still 10 points clear of Lyon, who are second, and Monaco on the same points as well. So I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference in terms of the race for the title anyway.
Now, I've got a couple of questions I want to run past you, and one of them is to do with the coach or the manager, and did he put out the right side? But I want to, let's just replay and capture some of the energy and some of the atmosphere from the matches played over the weekend. Have a listen.
Dele vai ser desvalorizado.
Olha o cruzamento, toque de cabeça! Gol! É do Estrasburgo! Da Costa!
Neymar, boa bola pro Rabiot. Mbappé pediu o cruzamento! Gol!
Saint-Germain, Mbappé, ele pedia, ele fez o deslocamento correto e preciso, Mbappé oportunista finalizando, e lá vem mais uma vez o Estrasburgo, Baoké bateu, gol, é do Estrasburgo, Baoké, o time da casa está na frente mais uma vez. Olha a zebra em Estrasburgo, Estrasburgo 2.
In any language, that that commentary,
in
you
fact,
can't
was,
run
that
away
was
from it.
George Nikin doing the commentary.
No. That was some of the action from Stade de la Minau. And you can see, you can hear the passion, the energy. And the question I have for Ozan Güncer, who's on the line with us on the Euro Show on FNR, is Emery, the coach or the manager of PSG, did he really set them up for this game? They're playing in a boiling atmosphere against a really physical team. They should have known that the Argentinians were really not up to this physical challenge. Did he drop the ball too?
Yeah, I think so. But we also got to remember that such teams have so many stars and so many players who are used to playing regular football elsewhere. So he did maybe want to give a run to for other players, other of the squad players who normally don't maybe get a chance midweek at Champions League or the more maybe significant matchups in the league. So you had Kurzawa, Meunier, Verratti, Cavani all on the bench there. Verratti and Cavani coming on later in the game as well. But you, I mean, yeah.
Dani Alves, who played, probably yes. You were just saying were on the bench. Those on the bench, he probably should have stayed on the bench.
Probably. It's one way to look at it. I mean, look, to be honest, Strasbourg were very desperate for the points. It's very tight at the bottom of the league there. They're currently on 18 points, just above relegation, I believe. Yes, in 16th spot. But you've also got Lille, who, for another time, we could discuss how disappointing they've been this season. But you've got Lille, Toulouse, Angers, all there within 3-4 points reach. So it's very, very tight all the way up to 9th and 10th place. So maybe the way Emery should have gone into this as a mindset was this opponent's going to give it everything they've got in front of their home crowd because they desperately need this 3 points. How do we prevent that? How do we counter that? And I suppose he may have not done his homework the way he should have.
And so often we keep saying it's a team effort. And yet when you look at some of the player ratings, Julian Draxler probably turned out one of his worst efforts. Not many thought his performance was very special. Angel Di Maria, which I touched on earlier, was wretched, awful. Even the magnificent young French international who's swept everybody and excited the world, a guy called Kylian Mbappe, he seemed to be just off the boil. Well, he was almost human, dare I say it.
Look, it's hard to... I think another perspective to this is that it's really hard to get the players going, especially if they're 10 points in front of all the other teams and they're playing for PSG. You can just imagine the ego in that change room. And no matter who the manager is, if you step in and say, right, boys, we have to win today, there's probably going to be a couple of players thinking, oh, do we really need to? Can't we just go out and do a bit of razzle-dazzle and, you know, do some flicks over the players?
But how about someone like Edson Cavani? How's he going with Neymar? We haven't heard too much of the spat between them.
No, because they've been winning.
Are they sort of getting together for barbecues and stuff? Or what's happening with those two?
Well, I would hope so.
Are they celebrating each other's goals together, by the way?
Yeah,
because people had a close look at them. After the spat, people had a close look at them to see whether they were embracing after goals and things. And I think for 1 or 2 weeks, they weren't going near each other.
No, it is an awkward silence, and that's very obvious.
No, don't tell me El Matador is not happy with Neymar. Surely not. Come on,
well,
boys.
In terms of contribution to the team, I think the PSG management would be happy with all these names mentioned, but it's going to matter little when come quarterfinals or semifinals time of Champions League and French Cup final or... You know, if they're playing a critical game in the league where
I think
they,
you just
they
touched
continue
on it.
To debate.
I think you just touched on it. I think what we saw may well be all these players being rested or given a few minutes with everybody looking towards already the trip to Germany coming up for what promises to be. Although it's not vital in terms of points, it does present bragging rights, does it not?
It does, absolutely. It certainly does, George.
And if we're going to talk egos, this is what these guys talk about. This is their trash moment. Just think about it.
Yeah.
PSG up against Bayern.
Well, that's right. I mean, they're not going to be preparing that mentally and physically the same way they prepared for Strasbourg. And that's one of the difficulties that Emery has there. The other difficulty he has is if he turns around to one of his squad players and says, I really need you this weekend, how motivated is that player going to be if you haven't used him in 16 or 18 weeks? So from a coach's perspective, it's a very tricky situation which you have to manage very well. And obviously on this occasion, that wasn't the case.
I'll tell you how well he's managed it. Emery has declared himself really pleased with the players' efforts, despite the 2-1 loss to Strasbourg on Saturday. There you go. How PR is that?
Yeah. That could be another motive that he's secretly trying to apply to his players. He may want to...
Reverse psychology.
Around, yeah, it could be. He doesn't want to maybe turn to their players and then see all the frowns on the faces to say, well, why did you say such and such things in front of the media about us? So it's a long trip. You've got to think of it as a marathon. It's a long season. You've got three different fronts to battle, and you don't want to be you don't want to become enemies or make any internal enemies at the helm early on the road. So I think that's what he's gone a bit too far with that statement. Maybe he could have been a little bit more criticising, but
yep.
That's what he's gone for.
We're on the Euro show, Ozan Güncer from Sydney, Carlos Alberto and George Staniki in the studio. PSG have suffered their first big loss of the year. Next up for them in Ligue 1, it's Lille at home. And Neymar, of course, suspended for that clash at the Parc des Princes.
Yeah, big loss. I think he's been involved in just about every single goal that PSG has scored this season. And they're definitely going to miss him. It's a question of how well Mbappe, Draxler and the likes will... and Cavani will step up to fill his space. And it will also be interesting if they work, well, it's hard to say even better, but if they work just as good up front without Neymar, it'll be very interesting to hear Emery's remarks maybe after the game and how it will be at the training ground following week.
Ozan Güncer, you've done a fantastic job. Thank you once again for joining us for the Euro Show. We appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend, and we'll speak to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, George. Thank you, Carlos.
All pleasure. There you go. Young man who loves his
knows
football.
His stuff,
knows it inside
about
out.
It. Can have a bit of a laugh at it too, because they are funny at times, what goes on in Europe.
We sometimes, as professionals, get a little bit too wrapped up. Lighten up. Let go. Take Carlos Alberto's, what is it, life lessons?
Yeah.
The things that Carlos Alberto has learnt. And introduce them.
Just smell the roses for a moment.
We'll be back with more radio for you as we say good afternoon. This has been the Euro Show, standing in for Adriano, George Staniki, along with Carlos Alberto. See you.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.